Jim Broom. I'm an instructional technologist at the University of Mary Washington, and I want to thank Dave Lester for putting this event together. Support Camp Ed. I have us all here today talking about an application that I've spent maybe too much time obsessing over. And I also want to acknowledge Cole Campbellis, who's here today. He's from Penn State. He's got a campus of 80,000 students. And they're using a blogging platform that's not WordPress. So I think it's important for us to think WordPress is a moment in which I think and trace through this idea. But it's not the only way. But for me, it's specifically relevant for helping me think about it, not only because of the design and how cool I can kind of work with it, also because I'm really stupid in terms of technology, and it's the easiest tool I come up against to kind of play with. So I just acknowledge that off the bat. I also want to acknowledge the artwork of Tom. Is there a way we could put the lights down? Because otherwise my presentation won't really show up. Tom Woodward is responsible for the artwork. And I'm an SD, I have to admit. I like pictures a lot more than words. That's probably because I can't speak. I like video even more than that. So I'm going to start with a video. This is a video. Get ahead of yourself. Okay. I'm going to start with a video, which is actually from, I know there's a lot of historians in the room, so forgive me. This is from John Adams. And this is a scene where Thomas Jefferson is talking with Ben Franklin and John Adams. And I just want to take a moment to talk about my title, to talk about our moment. Ready? That was really cool. It's going to be.
Expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
For some reason, while watching this clip, I started to think about the whole edupunk thing that blew up and this question of permanent revolution. This idea of, if you've ever been to Thomas Jefferson's house, and it's kind of appropriate, right? He's from Virginia, this is where we are, right? This notion of the permanent revolution, this notion of constant change, and the way in which we reimagine the space we're in, and this also this notion of legacy, and not being bound by what's become before us necessarily. He said it specifically about death. But I think it's particularly important for our moment right now to think about what we mean when we say that, right? We have been bound. There is no question about it. We have been bound by, we have been bound by LMSs. We have been bound by the logic of something like Blackboard, right? And how we teach and learn, and how we think about teaching and learning. And I think what WordPress provides us as a kind of space is to reimagine what is the revolution we're going through right now. How do we think about this revolution? How do we imagine it? And I want to actually take a couple of slides to talk about the space in which we're in right now as a culture. And think about something like WordPress, right? What does WordPress provide us? It provides us flexibility. It provides us a way to kind of rethink the digital space, our moment that we're in now, right? Our moment might be characterized by flexibility. The inconsistent, continuous, and ever-changing flow of information makes content similar to a contortionist. We live in a time when the ability to share one's ideas with the world at large is unprecedented. How can this change in publishing not have a dramatic effect on the existing archive? And I really feel bad for our historians, both living and in the future. The archive is getting so out of control. How do we manage it? How do we think through it, right? But the way in which we learn, for learning at its core, is an exchange, is a means of sharing information freely. That, when internalized, reflected upon, and reworked, might even be understood as knowledge. Now, I talk specifically about WordPress, but I'm also a little bit concerned about talking about WordPress because in our technological moment, how quickly are things moving? How radically might the idea of even CMS's, LMS's, blogging systems become something of the past, right? The future is unwritten. But what WordPress provides us, I think, at this moment, is a way to actually think through the changes that are happening, right? Technology may quickly be outdated. Think about the television, right? I mean, it is quickly becoming an object of the past in the way in which we conceptualize it and think about it. We can really only speak of our moment when we refer to technology because we can't entirely fathom what's next. We can hint at it, prophesize, and imagine, but that is all the more difficult and limiting if we're simply focusing on one application like WordPress. Yet such a task becomes easier if we together are dreaming of the future in terms of education. And I think WordCamp Ed is an important qualifier, that Ed, right? We're thinking this together as educators and what this means for our space because, you know, we're in a very problematic space in terms of this technology. There's no two ways about it. So what does it provide us? Well, I kind of think of WordPress as a metaphor. And I've always thought of WordPress multi-user as kind of like a hive, right? You have all these different ways into these different blogs. There's no one central. You brought up Barbara Portals. There's no one central way in. There's all these different identities through which people come in, but it is a whole. And that kind of hive logic of design allows WordPress to seem more like the internet, more like the web than other applications. People really feel like they have their own space, that they occupy it independently. Now, to go on with this kind of notion of cells and splinter cells and revolution, right? We can think of WordPress as kind of a decentralized revolution for publishing, right? You have your plugin splinter groups, you have your theme designer splinter groups, you have your forum maniac splinter groups, you have your evangelist splinter groups, you have all these different groups, all these different ideas working together to create an application that I think is quite impressive. And why is it impressive? Well, individually and collectively, they're developing an application that is increasingly making it trivial for anyone to both publish and syndicate text, images, audio, video, and dynamic media of all kinds. I mean, it's amazing. And we've talked about it a bit today. This logic of syndication is something I'll come back to. Syndication changes the game. The way in which how fluid content is and how quickly it can move between places right now, speaking of contortionists, is amazing, right? And it's something that we still haven't fathomed as organizations and institutions. The other question is, not only when students and educators are blogging with something like WordPress, they're also creating a personal archive, right? What we're doing is we're liberating their stuff from black boxes, from LMSs that take it, and then what do we do at the end of the semester? Delete it. It's gone. Why would you put work in there? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you want to have a trace of the 4 years you spent in college or of the 12 years you spent in K-12, right? Why would you simply say, that's it, what you did here is no longer relevant, and that's why this axis of the course as the space of learning is a question mark. What about the axis of the individual as the space through which the course is created, right? That's why syndication, for me, kind of frames that relationship. You syndicate the individual into a community, and that community as a whole frames a context. Yet it doesn't isolate the individual nor erase them, right? It changes things. So, liberate the archive, I'm all for it. But why revolution, right? Why do I talk in these terms? And I'm kind of channeling Gardner Campbell here. Because Gardner Campbell's like, I love it, but God, why do you always gotta use revolution? Why are you always talking like a revolutionary? Well, I think it's important to think of the context within we work, right? Revolution is important, and I think I am insightful, I-N-C-I-T-E, not I-N-S-I-G-H-T, because I think what we need is a quick move, is a quick revolt against the systems we've been locked within. I think it's imperative for the future of higher ed and K-12 to have serious relevance in our world. I really do. Now, we've been under the boot of fear. Everything's booted, right? You can't do this. You can't do that. And I'll speak of a particular experience both Patrick Murray, John, and I had recently at Longwood University. just to kind of reinforce this notion of the boot, right? We're afraid of the new paradigms for publishing, and we've let administrators, lawyers, and legislators beat us, to quote Patrick again, into a kind of submission, right? We're afraid. Why are we so afraid? Well, here's a great example. Recent headline. The University System of Tennessee spent $10 million while laying off educators and raising tuition. To do what? To do the bidding of the RIAA. To make sure their students don't share files. Is that what we're about? Are we policemen now for major media? I mean, why are we spending $10 million rather than spending $10 million rethinking the way in which we publish, the way in which we share, the way in which we teach and learn? That's on the university level. The K-12 level, are you a whitelist or a blacklist guy? Now, this is kind of new to me. But the blacklist would be you block a certain amount of sites, right? This is blocked, this is blocked. The whitelist is you block everything. And then you slowly let other things in, right? I want to quote quickly from Henry Jenkins here, because I think he had a recent blog post that I think is very important to think about, right? And he says this, and the blog post is called Why Universities Shouldn't Create Something Like YouTube. It's a really great blog post, I highly recommend it. But he says this, the internet is improving opportunities for learning for at least some portion of our youth, but most of what is most valuable about it is locked outside of schools. For example, many American schools block all access to YouTube, to social network sites, even to blogging tools, all of which are key sites for learning. Schools are discouraging young people from using Wikipedia rather than engaging with all its opportunity to learn about the research process and to engage with critical discussions around issues of credibility. The schools are often frightened of anything that looks like a game, at the point that they lock out many powerful tools which simulate real-world processes, encourage a what-if engagement with history, or otherwise force a critical understanding of the world. As long as they react to these developments as risks rather than resources, then those kids who have access to this online world are going to be de-skilled as they enter the schoolhouse gates, and those kids who don't have access are going to be left further behind because they have been abandoned by the institutions, which we are otherwise best situated to address. And this brings up a lot of the questions that have come up here today. This idea of digital identity, this idea of where do we as institutions stand in relationship to they thinking about their relationship to the online space and how they can imagine it. Right? And how they imagine themselves within it and as creators on it. If we block it, we really don't have any access. And then, I'm kind of happy to be here today. I feel like I'm in the home, a center of a fight back, of a pushback, of a hey, enough. I don't know how many of you have known about this, and please don't ask them about this because they're not allowed to talk about it, but I am. George Mason University sued by Thomson Reuters over Zotero. Zotero is an open source application, right? They've created for documentation, footnoting, it works with Firefox. Well, they're being sued. They're being sued by a company, right? This is an application they freely developed, they opened up, and they're being sued over formatting. Is this the nature of what we're doing in education? Are we able now to turn around and talk about it and be accused of reverse engineering? It's a rather and I think George Mason's great. So rather than cowering at the claim, they challenged it. And you know what? We're going to see this more and more. And I want to know when universities are going to stand up and say enough. I want to know when K-12 administrators are going to stand up and say enough. Enough. If we're going to be relevant as institutions, we better start saying enough. Now, all that's fine and good. But if I'm talking about WordPress as the operating metaphor for a revolution, and how do we impact this moment for good, right? Here's one example that's particularly near and dear to my heart. And obviously, UMW Blogs is something I've worked on, I'm very proud of. I'm proud of the community. I'm proud of my colleagues. I'm proud of what we've been able to do with an application that costs us next to nothing to develop on and to host, right? Cheap, talk about in these insecure economic times. This is amazingly cheap. So UMW Blogs is a publishing platform for the University of Mary Washington, right? As of April, we had 1,151 blogs. As of today, we have over 1,700. As of April, 1,308 users. As of today, this is an old slide, we have over 2,000. We're a school of 4,000 students. We have our school connected. Our school is publishing freely on there. In any respect, anyone with a UMW email can get a blog space, can freely publish to the web and frame their identity. Now, the activity is pretty amazing. Here's a quick overview. I always like this idea that we had posts in the last month, as of April, 3,000. Recently, it's 6,000 a month. Think about the amount of content we're putting out there. As a public institution, we're beholden to the country, to the state, to publish, right, and to help. Work like you've seen Jeff McClurkin doing is actually pushing that envelope. We're becoming relevant to the community again. That's our goal. Now, WordPress is a syndication-oriented architecture. Feed-frenzied learning is how I like to talk about it. Now, I was looking for a feed-frenzied shark slide, where they were all feeding on a human being or something. I couldn't find it. So I went with this again. What does this mean? Well, Sue Fernsender, who's actually in the audience, has a course which is actually using this RSS or syndication-oriented architecture to help students work through their research process. Now, if you look at the site, it's a blog. It's a very attractive blog, I might add. And you'll see this post that says progress. It's a student talking about their progress along the way of their research. Now, if I were to click on this link right here, which says progress, I'd be taken directly to the student's post in their blog, and I could comment there. This is a way, if they tag it appropriately, all of their work they're doing for a specific class can be re-syndicated into one blog. And you can create the community that Jeremy was talking about with a group blog, yet you can also have the individual space that Jeff was talking about with his blogs. Right? It's a way where syndication can allow that flexibility where people can take what they do with them when they go, yet still be create these kind of portal course sites where you can see everything happening. Now, this is done through a plugin it's done with two plugins. One of them is site-wide feed tags, It's by Dancha. It's a great plugin. He calls it site-wide feed tag pages. And there's the plugin for it where we're doing it. And what this does is it creates one blog where every post in that blog, along with its categories and tags, is put into one space. What this does is it gives you a feed for every tag and category. So if Professor Fernsender's students were to go in there and tag it HIST209 or HIST299, you could subscribe to that feed and it would just republish into that one blog from wherever they publish it. The republication happens with something called Feed WordPress, which is another plugin that works with WordPress Mobile. So they would set it up. As you see here, the feed is tags.umwblogs.org/tag, then the tag name, and then feed. So what you can do is basically create your own syndication system within UMW Blogs to pull all these disparate things together on the fly for a course. That's pretty radical in terms of publishing. The other thing that I'm really excited about is a plugin developed by the folks at UBC, or the University of British Columbia, under the lead of Brian Lamb. And NJ developed this one. It's called WikiInk. Now, what does WikiInk do? Well, WikiInk basically takes a page from any wiki page in MediaWiki and republishes it within a page in WordPress. Well, we wrote all our support documentation in MediaWiki. So what we did is we took those pages from MediaWiki and quickly republished them within the blog for that kind of consistency. Now, why is this important? Well, I'll get to that, because the revolution is still coming. This is what it looks like. You just put the wiki page in there. You have the link to the main page and then the title of the page, bam, it republishes it right within a WordPress page. It's a really powerful way for thinking about content management and republishing. Something Brian calls radical reuse, which I really like. So here's where it comes. Wait for it. So we have this great thing, UMW Blogs. You probably haven't heard me shut up about it for the last 2 years if you follow anything I do. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm getting ready to move on to something else. I think I'm going to start a knitting blog. But the point is that what we've done, the development we've iterated over the last 2 years, has been important for us, has been important for our community to think about who we are. And I think has put us in a very interesting position to take the next step for the 21st century in terms of thinking about digital scholarship and digital learning and teaching and learning. Well, Longwood isn't in the same situation, right? Patrick and I, as I mentioned earlier, we went to Longwood on Thursday night, and we did an actual presentation on blogs and UMW blogs and what we're doing. And talking with one of the librarians who had invited us, I asked her, well, do you have a blogging system? No. Not only do they have a blogging system, but when you go to the school, you can't get on wireless. And when I was presenting, I couldn't even change the resolution of the screen. Talk about locked out. I'm surprised they even let me look at a computer. I mean, this was a kind of draconian logic of IT, right? How could you go to Longwood and not hate computers after 4 years? I mean, everything seems like a kind of prohibition around it. Well, what we did with Longwood is we said, why don't you buy a domain? $8, right? $8 for a university, I know it's a lot of money, but you probably could do it. You know, run for a couple of years, maybe 5 years. What is that, $40? Okay, come on. It's a big investment. They bought it, $8. What we did is in UMW blogs, in our actual application, we mapped another site on our system. We instantly gave them 2 years of iteration in basically under 45 minutes. And why that Wiki Inc. is important and Feed WordPress is important is we could republish all our support documentation. We could republish everything we did within their system, bam. Within 45 minutes, we can iterate out with an application like WordPress. This is why WordPress is key to the revolution. We can give them stuff we've done in less than an hour. 2 years we've spent, and that's sharing between public institutions, that's opening up the philosophical logic of what this is all about, and that's bringing home the idea that what we're doing here shouldn't be done in isolation. It'd be shared out. That's why I'm so excited about all of you here today. I mean, we as education have some catching up to do. There's no two ways about it, right? Here's the example. The plugin I use to do this is called Site Manager. It's a WordPress plugin and it's amazing. Someone at New Jersey Institution of Technology developed it. I talked to him, I said, here, I'm having a couple of issues. He fixed them. Right now, bam, we're running Longwood blogs from our database. We're sharing all the work we've done with them. And they can experiment there. And if they like it and if it catches on, they can do their own thing. But why shouldn't we be sharing this stuff? Why shouldn't we be coming together around a common goal of publishing for an academy? Here's their support page. Probably looks familiar. It's our support. Just republished. I did a quick copy and edit, or copy and paste. Everything I said UMW, I'll put Longwood. Pretty cool. It took me about 30 seconds. And I probably could have been updating Blackboard or something, but I figured it was worth it. Okay. Sorry. Okay, the revolution. I don't know. I mean, for me, this is one specific example of a larger question. The technology is important. WordPress has afforded us at University of Mary Washington a tremendous amount of experimentation and iteration. The real question, though, and it's been brought up, is the community. And it's the question of where we go from here. How do we as educators and educational institutions kind of help this community grow and share out what we're doing, right? And the whole question of do it yourself, right? Some of you, the fact is, here's a university like Longwood that couldn't do it themselves because they didn't have the support from their IT. They didn't have people who were willing to take a chance. So we went out on a limb by helping them and by opening this up. And we created relationships. I don't know what the future of this will be. But I know for one thing that I now have contacts at Longwood that really are interested. I mean, we went and we talked to 30 or 25 professors in a room. They were chomping at the bit to play with this stuff. They were excited, they knew it was relevant, but they didn't have a way in which they could do it. They can experiment with it, they could play, right? What's wrong with us sharing this out? What's wrong with us working together as a community to build this stuff? We're gonna go into some hard economic times. Virginia already cut its education budget 7%, right? Can we afford to pay $150,000 for an application that sucks? Can we? How can? It's good at management, but it has nothing to do with teaching and learning. It's time for us to take that notion back. It's time for us as educators, as students, to kind of re-space ourselves or reframe ourselves where we should be. And I guess I get passionate about this stuff because I don't know why we're being so stupid about it. I really don't. I don't know when we're going to wake up, because the web's not going to wait for us. Sharing information isn't going to wait for institutions, right? People sharing how they think about things is not going to wait for us. We have to go to it. We have to kind of re-embrace it, okay? So I'll take questions. And I appreciate your time. Are there any questions? I don't know if I scared you, paralyzed you, or maybe I did what Jeff said. I should have.
The same thing you did along with it, have you talked to people in like K-12 institutions about doing the same thing?
So I have.
It seems like their restrictions would be much greater than...
There's no question about it, and that's why I spoke to K-12 today, because they work under a very different logic. And Henry Jenkins' quote is interesting to me because, you know, he sees that as the place that's really where we're really choking out the possibilities for the stuff, and I really agree with that. So, yeah, I think there are people in K-12. I have a great collaborator from K-12 who we talk about this stuff all the time, and why wouldn't you? If you're at a central office, say in Henrico County, and you have 20 different schools that are all blogging, why wouldn't you do something like WordPress multi-user? Why wouldn't you map all those different sites onto one thing, one upgrade, right? Privacy is an issue with whatever application you use, right? And the question, the way in which we've approached privacy with this kind of whitelisting is insane. I mean, I understand it's important, but need it be insane? I understand that, but you know, when we talk about bringing lawyers into it, and the question of, what is the battle here? The battle here is not only over privacy. The battle over here is over content. The battle over here is delivery of content. That's why RIAA and the MPAA are changing the way in which we have to do our business, because they want to keep business models going for them. So their business model is directly affecting our business model as universities and colleges, and it's killing us. I think it is. Maybe I'm wrong. You're all educators. You can say, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. Barbara.
So help me answer this question.
Sure.
The pushback I get from my campus is, sure, the tool is free, but we're going to have to hire 6 or 7 programmers to make it work. And we're in budget cuts, too. We just had everything slashed as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the tool is free, but the hidden costs are those programmers. Help me. I'm ready. Go.
Oh, help you with that?
Help me with
that. I mean, we don't have a programmer in-house. I couldn't write a lick of PHP if, a PHP guy came and wrote it for me. I mean, that's how it would happen. I mean, I don't write code. All I do is hack. I'm a hack. At everything, as you see, right? I mean, but the real issue is, it's not about having a coder or a program. The work is out there. People are doing it. You can get that information. It's about having someone who believes in it and having leadership that might support it. And if you don't have leadership, it's fine. You can circumnavigate it. We have.
I like these street
questions.
Yeah.
Instead of hiring 6 or 7 programmers, all they have to do is say WordPress many accounts as is. 2 things that they have to do is modify some parts and merge it with your university team. So get somebody from the humanities who knows CSS well, work study, $7 an hour, can't be that thing. And again, get 3 guys from CS who know PHP and MySQL who are geeks and who like playing games. Instead, $7 an hour, they'll come and code it for you. So just one solution.
That's great.
One solution.
I agree, and think about the work that the University of British Columbia is doing right now. They're doing some unbelievable work at developing plugins and widgets and framing this stuff that they're open freely. I mean, there are people in this room who I conceptualize the syndication with. Cole Campbell's blog again and again about the e-portfolio and using blogs as something else. I mean, this stuff doesn't happen in a silo. Programmers are far less important than conceptual thinkers in this space. Instructional technology needs more conceptual thinkers and fewer programmers. Let WordPress do the programming. They're fine at it. They're good. And despite anything on mailing lists and all that craziness, they're doing a fine job. Right? Why don't we let them do it and we worry about the teaching and learning, the conceptual spaces within which we inhabit. Right? And changing the way we think about publishing. Publishing is germane to what we do. Right? It is kind of our logic. And teaching is part of that, as is learning. So how can we ignore this? And I think when we turn back to privacy and we turn back to these fear logic, and you did a wonderful presentation with your four fellow, you know, fear presenters on this. I mean, fear is the question, and how we live in relationships. Yes, Jen.
Well, I know that, you know, when we talk to universities, people ask us, you know, how can you help us sell our university system? One of the questions that comes up isn't just how many programmers are we going to have to hire, but how can we get someone who budgeted $500,000 for Blackboard or a building angel for SUNY or something to admit that wasn't the best idea, there's something cheaper and better now. And that's something I think that these evangelists, women at the university, are really coming up against. They don't know how to make it okay to let go, so many people really fear the change.
We don't know how to reallocate that money. Isn't that funny? It's not funny. I mean, it's insane. We're spending a lot of, I mean, these, I don't know how dark these times are, and I'm a pretty happy guy regularly, but I mean, we're moving into a moment where if we depended on big programmers or having six or seven programmers or this big $500,000 application that was going to change the world, we'd be out of a job right now. I mean, this is keeping our jobs. This is keeping us afloat. And you know what? Why shouldn't we share it with other universities? Why? I mean, that's what this is premised on. That's what exchange and education is premised on, sharing. People write me, hey, Bava man, let's talk. What do you want to talk about? How do I monetize my WordPress multi-user and sell it out to people? I don't care. I don't care. Look what the market has done to us. I don't care about you. I don't care about your marketing. I care about teaching and learning. I care about education. I believe in it. It's part of where I come from. I've always worked within an institution. I think they're in danger, and I think we need to help them as people. I think that's really why we're here, right? Thinking together. And it doesn't have to be getting orders from on high. We can do this alone. I know a lot of you are shocked. Oh, my God. You can stop me at any time, because I won't stop on my own.
Hey, you should stop.
Hey. Yeah. In short, we should really wrap up for lunch. But I mean, the revolution started. You're either with or against, to quote George Bush.